Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear to be different, just wonderful to have you tuning in. This is via the audio streaming medium wave 1548 in Satellite Islam. And wonderful, wonderful weather. We have the weather's cooling down and not as hot as it was the last couple of weeks and not as cold. And we're definitely moving into a colder season. And those of us that are planning our winter gardens, we've got lots and lots to share with you this morning. And remember that you could join our conversation, the number 854-1548, any time you'd like to. The number 854-1548, any queries, any specific problems that you'd like us to perhaps assist with. The number again, 854-1548. Hi, good morning. And this morning we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that is JJ from Garden World. Now, Garden World, many of you who have been there know it's a wonderful, wonderful way to get away from the city of Johannesburg. In Johannesburg and yet out of Johannesburg, so bordering just on to Mulders, but a wonderful place and lots to see and do. And we're always fortunate to be talking to someone from there, and this morning we talked to JJ. Hi, good morning, JJ.
Good morning to you, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much, and like I said, a wonderful retreat just to get out of Johannesburg. You're still in Johannesburg, yet you get the country feel, and I think that's just absolutely marvelous. Now, you've been doing a lot of things in the last couple of months. Tell us what's happening for the months of April and going ahead.
Sure. We've actually had a very, very busy program. I think the busiest part of it has been this last week, where we had lots of people celebrating Easter with us over last weekend. And then, of course, during the week, last weekend, during the week, and this weekend, we were at the Rand Show. We received the Gold Award at the Rand Show, so we have been very, very busy during the last while. And of course, you know, in our own gardens here at Garden World, we have started transplanting most of our summer seedlings. We've taken a lot of them out and we started planting in our winter seedlings. So there's always something to do when you are a gardener.
Yes, and I know that you always have a stunning display as you come into the entrance. Are we going to expect something similar to that, or have you already got it ready? And what would you expect when we enter into Garden World?
Well, at the moment, we've obviously started off with all the primulas. Now, the primulas we use as filler seedlings all over in the gardens because they're nice and cheap and easy, and you can use them as background plants. Next up, what we'll be doing is we'll be looking at focal points where we can be planting some poppies, some petunias, some pansies, but I haven't selected those areas as yet. But you know what? We've had the most beautiful, beautiful winter display ever last year, and I think we're going to try and better that this year. I'm gonna be very honest with you. It's gonna be very hard to better. Let's try. Let's go for it, and let's see if we can do it any better. You know, very often people will say that winter seedlings or winter time is actually not a nice time in the garden. But if you look at your winter seedlings, your colors are so much stronger. So they're so much more intense, and it just livens up your day so much more if you have beautiful, beautiful color out in the garden. You know, it doesn't have to be an enormous garden. It could be a few pots, it could be a few focal points, it could be something small, but that'll just brighten up your day.
Yes, and I must say, it's such a stunning display, and if people are looking for ideas, it's a wonderful place to go out and to just browse, look around, and to come back, and I'm sure you'll be highly inspired. And I must say to you that every time I come in there, come in and say, wow, that is really something that we could do somewhere, even in a small space, and it's just been fantastic. Just back to your...
One of us that we don't mind you stealing with an eye and replicating at your home. Fine.
I must say to you that I've been just... I popped into your stand at the Rand Show, and it was just fantastic when I saw, and you had a wonderful display, lots of plants, lots of ideas, and I love some of the, you know, little pieces that you put together. You know, I looked at the wheelbarrow with the succulents in it, and I said, wow, that's a marvelous idea. So like I said, still feast for the eyes, lots you can come and lots you can learn from, and lots that you can do if you just are prepared to go and work in a winter garden.
That's good. Yeah, I think what was also quite nice was we had a beautiful, beautiful succulent display there. If anybody is going through to the Rand Show, I decided this morning to put all the plants that we've got there on a less 20% special and all the hardware items on a less 10%. So if you are going through and you were wanting some color or some interest in the garden, go and grab a few stuff over there. You'll find the prices are ridiculously low. But in any event, yes, I mean, the Rand Show has been fantastic to us. We've had some beautiful exhibits there. Part of it being the succulent exhibit, a second one being the carnivorous plants. I mean, it was such a nice selection of all the different carnivorous plants. It's all the insect-eating plants that's been there. We've had the monkey cups, we've had the pitcher plants, we've had the sundews, we've had the Venus flytraps, and it's so amazing to see them in their different stages in the life, and also to see how they actually work, because yes, there was a few flies around at the rancher, luckily not enough, let me say that, because I think our Venus flytraps and our carnivorous plants could have handled a few more. But it was so nice to see how they work, you know. Very often people will say, no, it's just a gimmick. But it was amazing how they actually attracted, how they drew all the flies towards them, and how they then indulged them.
Yes, I must say, that was a fantastic idea as well. And I know that we went in one of the guys with me and tried to put his finger on it and said, oh, well, it does work. I said, yes, of course it does work. It does work. You know, sometimes people think it's a gimmick and these plants won't work. And, sorry, go ahead.
No worries, no. And very often we see on the movies that the carnivorous plants grow huge, you know, and that they eat cats and dogs and people, but it will never grow that big. It only grows big enough to eat a fly or maybe a slightly larger insect.
I must say, it's a fantastic display, and of course, if you're looking for something different in your home or in your garden, you want to do it, it's lovely just to get a couple of these, insect-eating plants, put them together, and make just a wonderful talking point. You know, sometimes you want just something to get the conversation going, and I think these plants just are wonderful talking points.
No, that's correct. Then we also had beautiful displays there with the daylilies, with all the different colors of daylilies that you get. Some of them, I mean, especially the daylilies and the irises. I said to people yesterday, I said to them, that is so beautiful, you just want to take it to dinner and eat it, you know. That's how beautiful those flowers are. And we've got to start looking in our lives at what can we plant that will give us constant ongoing color throughout the years, something which we don't need to replace, and also something which is water-wise. And both the daylilies and the irises, we must remember, is quite water-wise because they don't require a lot of water. So once you've got them in the garden, they're there forever. And yes, you might need to feed them, you might need to lift them every now and then, separate them, do a bit of maintenance on them. But watering-wise, they don't need a lot. So if you are in a garden or in an area where you can't water very well or very often, where the water is quite expensive like it is at the moment, maybe look at those kind of alternatives which will still give you beautiful color in the garden, but which is very easy and water-wise.
Just going back, you know, and the other thing about daylilies, I read somewhere, I'm not too sure if that's correct, but they are also edible plants. You could eat, not the plants, but the flowers itself is edible. Is that true?
That is true, yes. You can actually walk past and you can pick a daylily and you can eat the flowers. It's quite chunky, if I can call it that. It's not a very, very, very thin flower. So it's quite a chunky flower. So once you eat a few of those, you will be full. But remember that the daylily flower is also beautiful as a decoration in a salad. So if you are putting a salad together and you want to put some daylily petals into the salad, wonderful, no problem whatsoever. And then, as you say, 100% edible.
Now, let's just go back to the irises. It's also time for, whilst in beautiful and in bloom, is it time for it to be separated, or should we wait for a while?
It's a little bit early for them to be separated. We will probably be doing that more towards the June, July month. But what you must remember is very often people don't separate the irises and they don't flower for them. There's a couple of reasons why, or a couple of things that you need to keep in mind if you want to have success with your irises. Irises like a very sunny area, so don't plant them in the shade. Irises also likes a very cold area, so don't try and protect them over winter either. Remember that the secret with an iris is that your iris must not be planted too deep. So about half the iris bulb can be underground, that rhizome can be underground, the other half can be above ground, and then you must also remember that if it is getting some sun on the bulb and some frost on the bulb, you will have beautiful flowers coming from it. So remember to don't plant them too deep, and if for any reason that the soil has actually grown in that area, that it's lifted either with erosion that's brought some soil in, with you adding some compost, with it being planted too deep, go and lift those plants during the winter months and plant them a little bit higher up in the ground, and they'll do a lot better.
Thank you very much for that. And whilst we're talking about irises, we also must remember that the gladioli would also, the African gladioli would also be in full bloom now. Is that correct?
Your gladioli, you can plant your gladioli. You can actually take them out now and you can start storing them, because your gladioli is something which has now started dying down after our summer months. And remember, when you do take it out, when you do store it, keep it in a cool, dry spot. Even if it's in a cupboard drawer or so, keep it somewhere where it can still aerate and ventilate, even if you need to just stir it once every couple of days, just to turn them over. Or if you were to put them in a brown paper packet, keep them somewhere in a cooler area, like for instance your garage or so, fine, no problem. Remember that you're going to be planting them again by about, say, August, September.
Well, we know that we're coming to the end of summer, and we find that many of our annuals will be coming to an end. And would it be a good idea to pull them all up and dump them into a compost heap?
Yes and no. Make sure that your annuals are disease-free. If you've got any of the impatiens that has got that disease, rather not. But most of your annuals are normally fairly disease-resistant. And if your annuals are looking good and they they have been disease-free, that they haven't had a lot of powdery mildew and that kind of thing on it, yes, take them and put them into a compost heap. First of all, what you've got to look at is which of your annuals are going to be shedding some seeds, so that you can pick the seeds, that you can harvest it and keep it for the next season. Obviously, if you were buying seedlings from a nursery and you were harvesting the seeds now to transplant again in the next summer, it will not always be as good as your first batch, because they have been hybridized, they have been cultivated specially to give you better and bigger flowers. So yes, you will still get some flowers from them, but they will not be as big and as beautiful as the first time round. So if you were to harvest the seeds, fantastic. I normally say try and keep your annuals in for as long as possible, because then you will get your most color out of it. But as soon as you start doubting, should I take them out or should I not, take them out, prepare your soil, and transplant your new winter annuals, or your, if it's at the end of winter, your new summer annuals. At the moment, of course, we've got all the beautiful winter annuals. We've got the primulas, we've got the petunias, we've got the poppies, we've got the pansies, it's all the peas, we've got the sweet peas, and there's much more, many, many more that you can plant. So have a look at what's available, look at the area that you've got, and start working on that.
You know, it was always regarded that by many a gardener that when it came to April that we should sit down and relax, and there's not very much color. But just listening to you this morning, I mean, there's so much color that you can bring into the garden, whether you're planting the primulas, the pansies, the petunias, the poppies. I think there's so much. And even if you don't want to do a whole bed, if you do a couple of containers, that would just be marvelous. Is that correct?
Very often, if you do a few containers closer to home, it's normally a lot easier looking after them, and it's normally a lot more striking. So if you are able to put a few containers closer to home, closer to your patio area, your kitchen, your front door, wherever you will see it, maybe just somewhere in an area in the garden, which is very close to your entertainment area, and make the most of those containers. Once you see how easy it is to be successful with a few containers, with a few plants, you'll definitely try more next year, and you'll get a lot more joy from it next year. You know, a while ago I did a talk at one of the garden clubs, and it was quite interesting to think about it, how few summers we actually have, how few winters we actually have to work in our gardens and to try new things. I mean, if you think about it, let's say you go to school until you're about 20 or so, you get settled until you're about 30, have your kids and whatever. At about 30, you decide, now I'm going to start gardening. If you think about it, if you live to become, say, 70 years old, it means that you've only got 40 summers and 40 winters. It's quite amazing if you think about it. If you start breaking them down into how many years you're going to trial and error in your garden before you're going to really start enjoying it and succeeding with it. And then, of course, you've got a few years left to make the most of it. So the sooner we can do it, the more we can play with it, the quicker we're going to start enjoying it.
Well, I think we don't ever look at it that way, you know. We always think, oh, well, fine, we're here forever and we can do it. And I don't know, and I think when we realize that, and definitely it's something that we've got to consider. And as many of us enter or become keen gardeners late, very much late in our lives, you know, when we're early on, are we so busy trying to make ends meet and get things going, so we don't really have that. And later on, when you do have the time and you want to get in the garden, you don't really have the full energy and strength.
That's good. How many of us have got our joining a garden club on our bucket list for one day when we are 50 or 60?
Well, that's what we've got to do. That's what the program's all about. Mohammed's actually having a good chuckle. If we can get people that are younger and understand that, you know, it's not just about, all looking at hobbies and looking at ways of enjoying what we have and giving back. And gardening is one of those things. And I must say to you, JJ, I've met so many gardeners, and one of the things I've learned from gardeners over the years, they're always willing to share. And that's a good, you know, that's a quality that I think it's admirable. And you come and you speak to Ghana, and says, well, try this, take this cutting, do this, and you'll find, and, you know, and that's fantastic. So there's so much that we can learn from gardening and gardeners.
No, you're 100% correct there. You know, I've been to many garden shows all over the world, and even if you go and participate all over the world, you can talk to anybody from anywhere, and they will talk to you, and they will tell you all their secrets and all their tips and all their hints about how to get them, how to make the most of their gardens. You know, I think for us as a green industry in South Africa, I don't think we've got enough people actively involved in the green industry, actively involved in their gardens, in a community garden, just in a small container or two. How often do you find it that you go past this concrete jungle, and there's just nothing going on that'll break down all this heat that's been transpired from all the bricks around, all the mortar around. So often we need to just go and wake some people up and say, guys, there's more to life. Go and try, get your hands in the soil. Go and garden. You know, I do a lot of talks here with the kids at Garden World as well. And it's so nice to see how often the kids will actually say they've got their own little veggie patches at home. They're growing their own carrots. They're growing their own tomatoes. And that's exactly what you say. Let's try and get people at a younger age involved in the gardening, even if it's just something small.
And I must say to you, that's something that I've learned, you know, when I was in the UK, whenever you get into the UK in the summer, the first thing that catches your eye is every home has a small basket of color. It may not be a big garden, but at least they've got a color, you know, hanging basket, and you find all these amazing colors. And it's everywhere that you go. It may be shopping centers, it may be street poles, and that, you know, the soul city comes alive with color, and they make the most of this opportunity. And this is something that we could do together here in South Africa, inspire and look fine. Everyone, come, let us see how we can bring color. And we have the advantage that they don't, you know, that's the weather. And, of course, the climate is in our favor, and we can do so much, not only in the summer months, but even the winter months.
That's correct. And if you think about it, their summer or their warmer months is only really 4 months of the year. Our cooler months are only 4 months of the year. So we've got a lot more in our favor, and we can do so much more. And it's true what you say. What's actually very interesting, whenever you speak to some of the British people or the European people, whenever they talk to you about their plants, they will very often rather call the plants by their botanical names than what they would by their common names. So you'd never really talk to them about pansies and violas. You know, it will always be the viola, whatever variety they have been using, you know. So it would be something nice to actually start learning all those botanical names. And remember, that also keeps the mind healthy.
Definitely, but I must say to you, it's quite a, well, when I say a mouthful or jawful, those botanical names, you know, when you think of them, you think, oh, well, fine. And when you talk to someone, they say, well, what's he trying to do? Is he trying to impress? And it's not the idea about impressing, but if you have that, it's so much better. And so that you are able to identify the correct species and know exactly what particular plant you're talking about. And I think that is something that we should, but it's not an easy task, I must say to you. You guys in that part of the world or in that industry know exactly how, with us, we're still struggling to just identify the plants, thereby call them by that name, so it is a challenge.
I must be honest with you, it doesn't take very long to learn it. It's like learning a new language, and if you practice it every day, it will be very easy to you. But also, remember, once you start identifying, once you start trying to find out about more of this plant's likes and needs, and you have the botanical name, it's a lot easier going onto the internet, because very often common names will not be the same all over in the world, but botanical names will be the same. So very often you will hear, this is a slipper orchid, and if you go and you Google slipper orchids on the internet, it will give you maybe 100 different varieties of slipper orchid. But if you've got a Phalaenopsis, then you can actually go and look at the Phalaenopsis variety.
Well, definitely that makes sense. Now, we just got a couple of minutes before we break for news. Tell us about some of the flowering plants that we can plant almost immediately and this month going ahead.
Well, we should not forget about our bulbs, but let's quickly talk about our seedings. So I spoke about the 5 P's, which is the primulas, the pansies, the poppies, the petunias, and then the sweet peas. So the sweet peas will obviously give you a lot of color and also a lot of fragrance. But then there's also things like your calendulas, which is the bright orange and the yellows. And your calendulas will be taking over from our summer marigolds, if I want to call it that. What we've got to also remember is that especially our calendulas is very medicinal, and it's also very good for the ground. A lot of your earworms do not like calendula. So if you were to take the calendulas, as with your marigolds, and you were to turn them into the ground, you will be killing a lot of your earworm diseases. So that's also very nice.
JJ, can we just stop here? I do apologize to interrupt, but can we continue after the news?
Of course. Thank you.
You take care. Thanks, sir.
You know that gardening is the fastest growing hobby in the world. Islam highly recommends planting trees and urges people to protect them to the extent that planting a tree is considered as an act of worship for which special prayer is recommended. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, unless you are compelled, do not cut down a tree. So join Ismail Pariyava every Sunday between 8:30 and 9:30 a.m. on the program Dare to Be Different.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Dare to Be Different. My name is Ismail Pariyava. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in. Well, it's via the audio streaming midway 1548 in Satellite Islam. And we have a wonderful, wonderful guest. And that's JJ from Garden World. He's been talking to us about what is to be done in the garden this time of the year. And we're talking about some of the plants. And he spoke of the five P's. Hi, good morning, JJ.
Good morning. I hope that was all good news.
I hope so. These days when you put on the radio, there's no good news. There's no more good news. JJ, thank you very much. Now, we spoke about the five P's, primulas, pansies, poppies, and so forth.
Petunias and sweet peas.
That's right. Thank you very much for that. Now, as we move along, JJ, we're getting into a season where people wanting to perhaps, food security is very high on the agenda or on their bucket list and wanting to plant. Tell us something about some of the foods that they can plant this time of the year.
Well, this time of the year is actually quite interesting. If you think about whatever you're using in a stew is normally what you'd be planting this time of the year. You know, think about all those underground onions. You know, the onions is going to start ripening now. Your cabbages, your cauliflowers, all the broccolis, everything that you'll be using in a nice stew is what you would be planting at the moment for your own food security. And so often, I mean, people would say, but I don't have a vegetable garden. I don't have the space to grow vegetables. Yes, you don't need a lot of space to grow your own vegetables. You know, there's initiatives going all over the world where they say that you can plant with the size of a door, which is only a 2x1 meter area. I mean, we all have got a 2x1 meter area, unless you're staying on the 10th floor of a building. You've got a 2x1 meter area where you can grow your own vegetables, which will be enough to sustain a family of four.
Yes, and that's so true, you know, if you can, and I've seen that doing, and I know that it sustains a family quite adequately if you are able to do that. And it's not very hard work, is that correct?
It's not very hard work at all. You know, with good preparation, you'll actually find that it's so easy to grow your own veggies. What you need is very good soil. So you're going to be working in lots of compost, crawl manure, bone meal, that kind of thing, to enrich in your soil. Because the more you put into the soil, the more you're going to get out of your harvest. Then you need an area which is in the full sun, and you need to be able to dig the soil over to at least about 400 mils in depth. So 40 centimeters, which is just more than a ruler. That's how deep you need to go. And then you'll be able to grow just about any vegetables in that area. I mean, you were asking earlier, what other veggies can you grow now? Remember that things like your lettuces, your spinach, your carrots, you can grow right throughout the year. And now, of course, with it going into winter, not only do we plant sweet peas, but we also plant our edible peas. So there's lots that you can still plant for yourself, for your kitchen, for the pot, now in the winter months.
And I know you've got a stunning display. I saw this at the rancho as well. You've got the oriental veggies as well. I saw a couple of them. I looked at them. And you've got the oriental mustard seed. And then you've got the, you had bok choy, and bok choy was sold out, I see. And you're doing a lot of that.
That's great. And it's so nice, actually, to bring all those veggies now to the people at their disposal so they can decide, well, I want to try something new. I want to try a few things. You know, so often people will tell me, but you know what? I don't really like herbs. And then I let them smell a basil, and immediately their face just changes into, oh, I want this in my garden. I want to be able to cook with this in my own garden. I mean, danya is such a good herb that your community will be using so much, and it is so easy to grow.
Thank you very much. Let's just take this call online, and then we can continue the conversation. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Please go ahead. Hello. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Go ahead.
Okay. I've got three questions, right? Number one is, I've got the orchids, and how often do I water it, and is ice good for it?
What orchid do you have?
The fresh one.
Yes, but what's it? Is it Phalaenopsis or Calendula? Which one do you have?
The Phalaenopsis, yeah.
Okay, Phalaenopsis. Okay, right.
And then the other one is, I want to plant pomegranate and guava trees. Is this a good time? And where do I get it from?
Okay, pomegranate, guava.
Okay.
The third one?
And no, that's all, right? Thank you.
Thank
I listen
you
on air, right?
Not a problem. Jazakallah khair. We've got two questions posed. JJ, the first one about the orchids, and we're getting this repeatedly, and there was some advice given whether you should use ice or not, and the amount of ice water. There's two opinions. Some say you shouldn't, some say you shouldn't. And this, I suppose, a query about the orchids. Help us with that one.
Well, what we've got to remember is that orchids are epiphytes, and epiphytes are air plants. Plants that can grow in the air and onto tree stumps and absorb moisture from the air. So therefore, you actually don't need to water your orchids all that often. You normally water them maybe once or twice a week. All the roots that grows out the pot is normally the air roots, and that is absorbing moisture from all over. If you are staying in an area which is very dry, if you're staying in an, say, let's say for instance you don't have a lot of plants in your garden which can help you with a nice little microclimate to give you a bit of a cooler feel, and you wanted to have some orchids and you wanted to give them more water but you didn't necessarily want to water them, rather put them on a nice large tray, on a tray that you can fill with stones. Fill that tray with water and allow for that evaporation of the water to water the orchid, because that's what the orchid wants. It wants a very humid climate, and you can create a humid climate without having to water it constantly. So normally if it was a container, if it was a normal garden where you've got lots of other plants, I would say once or twice a week kind of watering would be more than enough. Once every 2 weeks feeding would be more than enough. That won't be a problem at all. But getting back to the ice is not a problem if it is a warm time, if it is a warm period, because again we are looking for that water that is being absorbed by the air roots, and it's not able to absorb a lot of water very quickly. So if you were to put some ice cubes down onto it and it was to drain and melt down slowly over a period of time, it will give the orchid a chance to draw up a lot of that water. Very often with my orchids at home, if I see that mine is lacking some water, that the leaves are shriveling up, that we've had a few hot days and I haven't been giving more attention to it than what I should have, I would very often put them under a dripping tap for, say, one day or so. I wouldn't necessarily put them in a bucket of water. I would put them under a dripping tap just to bring enough moisture in. And if I say a dripping tap, a very, very slow drip. If it was to drip once a minute, that's more than enough. That's all the plant needs. And you'll only do it for one evening, and then normally put that into a bucket where if that drip does collect in the bucket, I can use the water then afterwards. I don't want to waste any water. But yes, I would say putting down ice cubes, if it was a nice and warm day, fantastic. But if it was a cooler day or a cold day, definitely not.
Thank you very much for that. And I think the question must have come as a result of when we had a speaker, I think a guest 2 weeks ago, she said three ice cubes, you know, would do the trick. But again, I think the proviso is that if the water is, I beg your pardon, if the climate is warm enough, when it cools down, I think you should be very careful. Is that correct?
Especially because our orchids are mainly looking for warmer weather. You know, if we're looking at our cymbidiums, which do like colder weather, there I don't mind. If you were to do it over the winter months, no problem at all. But if you're looking at our warmer, our Phalaenopsis, especially like the lady said she's got, then definitely I would only do that during the warmer months of the year. Getting to the second question that she had about the pomegranate tree, most nurseries do sell pomegranates. I mean, we sell them throughout the year. And when can you plant them? If you're planting them from a bag into the ground, you're planting them from a contained root system, so you can plant them any time of the year. All that you've got to remember is that if you were to take plants from a warmer area or from a more protected area and you were to plant it in a very cold area, yes, you are going to have some kind of setback to the plant. That's all normal. It's fine. It's not going to kill the plant. Pomegranates are actually very hardy. So you are able to take them and you can plant them any time of the year. Cut them back slightly if it was going to go towards the end of winter, and they will bush out and they'll grow out for you in the new year. We do have them, in the new season. We do have them here with us as well.
What about the guava? While this is an illicit plant, I know that we're not allowed to plant guavas. Are they easily available?
No, guavas are not available at all. We're not allowed to sell it at all. And nowadays we do have the green police or the green scorpions coming past, fauna and flora, coming to check and see if our nursery is selling alien invader plants. Unfortunately, guavas and so on, you are not allowed to grow in South Africa if you aren't, if you don't have a license for it. So the guys that do still bottle and tin them, they are allowed to grow them. The guys that supply the fruit to the market, they are allowed to grow them, but they only grow them under license. And we as a nursery or any nursery is not allowed to grow guava. Sorry.
Thank you very much. And let's go on to the next question. I've got pecan nuts. I've got pecan nut trees. When do I know it's ready for picking, or do I wait until it's completely dry?
The pecan nuts itself, you normally wait for it to fall.
Okay, so
you don't pick them from the tree. You wait for them to fall, then you know that they've completely developed. And remember, even if they do fall, even if you start shaking the tree a little bit and they start falling, you might still need to give them a few weeks' chance to dry out even more.
Okay, so you don't pick them, you wait for them to fall, and then you know it's time for you to harvest. So you don't really harvest from the tree, is that correct?
Correct. Very often people will take, as soon as the skin on the actual pecan nut has burst open and the outer shell of the nut has gone hard, very often people will then harvest it then. But remember, you've got to do it once you see that it starts weaning the fruit. Then you know that the fruit has got enough development in them that you can start picking them.
It's not the case of when it splits, because that's the question I had. Should I pick it when it splits?
When the actual fruit splits open, the skin on the fruit splits open?
Yes.
If the skin on the fruit has split open, say, two-thirds, then it's normally fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
But with a pecan nut tree being so big, it's going to be very difficult for you to harvest it when it's nice and big. So it's much easier just to wait for them to fall.
Thank you for that one. And the question I've got, in companion planting in winter, is that possible?
Oh, definitely. Companion planting is always a must. You know, go and read up a bit more about companion planting. See which plants do well together and which not. And so often you will be planting two different vegetables next to one another, or a herb next to a vegetable, and not one of the two will be liking one another, and then you'll have problems with them not doing well. Companion planting in the winter for your seedlings. If you were to plant some of your calendars in between your vegetables and your herbs, that will help deter a lot of your insects. So companion planting is a must in any garden.
Just speaking about calendulas, would it be a good idea if you had them in a pot as opposed to putting them into ground so that you can move them around, or would it be better to have them in the ground?
I would rather say keep them in the ground. You know, if you've got a nice large pot where they can grow in, no problem whatsoever. But you don't necessarily want to move them around too much, because I think the pots are normally quite heavy, especially if you start moving on a larger seedling pot. But it's probably going to be neither here nor there. The reason why I prefer them being in the ground is because very often your soil will get very hot in the pots. You know, especially if we look at our winter months, some days are very, very hot during the day, nice and sunny, and now you've got your calendula standing in the full sun during the day, and of course the pots are getting all the extremities from all the sides, very hot weather, wind drying out, and, you know, so it's much better having them in the ground where it should be a lot cooler for them.
Another question coming in, I've got a tree with, you know, this nut tree, whether it's pecan, I beg your pardon, whether it's sort of stone fruit, that is the peach,
peach, apricot, almonds,
yes.
Those kind of things.
Do I prune the back now?
Not yet, no. You've got to wait a little bit. You've got to do it more towards, say, June, July. And remember, if you do prune them back, we normally say before the middle of July, everything should be pruned back. Don't wait too late, because then you'll be pruning away a lot of your blossoms and you'll be doing more damage to the tree. But don't do it too early, because you might just encourage new growth on the tree now. And we don't want to encourage any new growth now before winter.
What about raspberries and blackberries? What about the canes?
You can start pruning on them, but remember that they do also fruit very often during your winter months for you. So if you are pruning on them, prune very mildly. Don't prune too hard.
Another question with regards to asparagus. Is asparagus an easy plant to grow, and when should you grow an asparagus?
Asparagus is, you probably talked about the edible asparagus now.
That's
your
correct.
Edible asparagus is extremely easy to grow. Remember that it likes a very sandy soil, so a soil that's very, very well drained. And normally you plant, say, 6 or 12 plants, because once you start harvesting the asparagus crowns as they come out, one plant will not produce enough asparagus for a family. So you normally plant at least about, say, 6 plants or so. You can plant them any time of the year. They are available. I know that I have got some asparagus at the ranch show as well, but they are available at the moment at the nurseries. And remember that once you plant your asparagus, you've got to wait 2 years before you can actually harvest from them. So the sooner you plant them, the better. You know, we were talking about that few summers and few winters that we've got as humans. So if you plant them now, after 2 years you can start harvesting them, and definitely any time of the year they can be planted. So when they're available, plant them. Don't say it's not the season.
Well, I've got this question repeatedly coming through about garlic. I know it's the right time for garlic. Any watch points about garlic?
Garlic is actually very easy to grow, and garlic, funnily enough, in China, they're making more money out of garlic than what they're making out of gold. Mm-hmm. So I think we should all actually start our own garlic farms. But garlic can be planted any time of the year, and garlic can be must be planted in a nice and sunny area, well-drained soil, well-composted soil, giving a lot of bone meal for good root development. But often people will say that the garlic is not available in the nurseries. Well, luckily at the moment the garlic is available in the nurseries, and the garlic that you find in the nurseries is normally a treated garlic which should sprout very quickly. Should you go to a normal vegetable shop or a fruit shop and go and buy some of the garlic that they've got there, it will also grow. It might not be as good or as big and as bulky as what the nursery quality would be. But even if you were to buy some at a fruit shop and you were to plant them, no problem whatsoever. Just remember that garlic takes about 11 months for it to mature. So if you plant them now, you're only going to be able to start harvesting after about 10, 11 months.
Thank you very much for that. Tell us something about what you have on special, and do you have any particular show gardens on at the moment? What's happening in there?
All right, we've got some wonderful specials at the moment going with people that are battling with weeds, especially in your paving. We've got a product called Snapshot that you can use in the paving areas or in between plants, which will not kill the other plants, but which will kill any of your seeds germinating. So can come through and have a look at that. We also do have organic insect sprays on special at the moment. So everybody, we want to go more organic in our lives. We want to be safer. So have a look out for the organic insect sprays. And then I've put a few plants on special as well, but the specials is starting as from today. So if you guys want to come through and see, there is some beautiful iris scenes on special. I'm trying to remember what the others are off the top of my head now. But there's quite a few specials that is going in for the April, May, June months now as we're getting ready for winter. And you were asking about our spring festival, about our gardens. If you have not seen our gardens of the previous spring festival for last year, July, September, that was open last year, July, August, September, you must come through and see that now during the month of April. As from the 3rd of May, the gardens will be closed. We are breaking everything down, and we are replanting everything. We are rebuilding. We're redoing the gardens entirely. So those of you who have not seen the gardens, this is your last month to see them before we start breaking down. And our show will open up again that last week in July. Then we'll have new gardens, fresh ideas, fresh landscapers. That's part of the Garden World Spring Festival, and at this stage we will be bringing the Chelsea exhibit back to Garden World again.
Well, thank you very much for all that information. And you're 12 kilometers away from the Bavarius New Deer Drive, is that correct? Turn left if you're coming in from the south of Johannesburg, right if you're coming in from Pretoria, and I don't think we can miss this well post signpost, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we're 12 kilometers away from the N1 concrete highway. So if you take the Bayer Zondia off ramp, we are on Bayer Zondia, but we're 12 k's north of the N1 concrete highway. So whichever way you're coming from, make sure that you turn away from town. From the south side, it will be left towards Honeydew. From the north side, it will be right again towards Honeydew. So just carry on going. You'll see it's a nice big double road. It becomes a single road. Where it becomes a single road, 3 k's down the road on the right-hand side. If you were coming from Pretoria side, you will take the N14, or from Krugersdorp side, you'll take the N14. You'll take the M5, M for Mommy, Randburg, Swartkops off-ramp, and you'll be turning towards Randburg. We are then 3 k's down the road on your left-hand side. I don't think there's a nursery which is easier to find than ours.
You take care, JJ. Everything of the best, and take care. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much. Happy gardening.
Thanks, Star. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.
And that was JJ giving us some wonderful ideas and inspiration. And remember, you've got some wonderful, if you're wanting to see a garden display, I think it's a fantastic one to take out a drive. It's a beautiful day. And if you have the children with them, that's lots that you can do. That's all for me. Until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.